One almost fired before.
All right, Caitlin, are you ready?
Yeah.
All right, in that case,
we will begin. I have 6:30 p.m. on my 15th. So again, a reminder to silence your cell phones, and this meeting is being recorded. This is a regular meeting of Springfield City Council, May 4th, 2026. For those that can, please stand and join me in the pledge of allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Please be seated. Finance officer, please take your role.
Hirsch, here. Peach,
here.
Boone, here. Miller,
here.
Okay. So we have four voting members present, zero absent, so we have a quorum, and this meeting is now in session. The first item up, and I'll ask for a little bit of help for both Bo and Amanda, is our annual review of open meetings law. Actually, I'll kind of hold right there. We're in this transition here because of the way that elections went, and we're going in December, November for elections, and January for reorg. So there's a couple things we got to do tonight to make sure we stay on time. And this is one of them, and then you'll see the other things with the banking institution. So open meetings laws first. Bo, do you want to kind of go into it?
Sure. So the panel that's in your package, the meeting laws handout, this was not revised from last year. Something that you've seen before. And it just goes through the state of the open meeting laws for the state of South Dakota. Any questions you have?
So as I said, make sure to look on the front page, and we'll say revised 20.5, because it looks the exact same as 2023. There are a couple things that happened.
Excuse me, can I ask that the council members please speak up?
Sure. Well, okay, thank you. So make sure to look at that. When you see the page numbers at the bottom, remember there's not 96 pages to this document. There are about 8. Those are the packet numbers. So as a whole, we do quite well. There's always room for improvement in doing that, but we've definitely done a lot of things to ensure that we're open and information is out there. So. If you have any questions, yeah, Bo, this is first. If anybody ever has a complaint on it in the public, that goes to the state's attorney's office, I believe, first, the city, so for review and then up to the channel. There was a little bit of action on this, I think, at the legislature this year, too, so there are some things that are out there.
May I make a comment? I'm assuming you're on the open meeting law. I just tried to dial in. And we're being denied access with the call-in number. It says the administrator no longer has authority to do this meeting and hangs up on you.
I like Eric got it.
Sure.
And I'm not sure what's going on. So I didn't have anything pop up, so I wouldn't have denied it. I would have accepted it. Garrett was the only one that popped up on my end.
Well, thank you.
I tried three times and was not able to get in.
Okay.
That's the same number I've been using.
Thanks for letting us know, because there is some transition right now that's going on with our accounts to .gov, but I'll be able to test it tomorrow and see
okay. If
something's
yeah.
going on
it's
the way
okay,
we have Garrett on, but you've done so.
Thank you.
Okay, so the next item is four items. We'll have two actions. The first one, again, these annual items, is to designate Springfield Times the official legal newspaper for the city of Springfield pursuant to South Dakota codified law 17-2-1. Is there any action on that, please?
I'll make a motion to designate Springfield Times as the official newspaper.
I'll second.
Did you hear that, Karen?
No. All I heard was a bunch of mumbling.
Yeah. Say it again. I'll make a motion to designate Springfield Times as the official newspaper. You're welcome.
And I second it.
So Steve's made the motion, Caitlin seconded, to designate the Springfield Times as the official legal newspaper for the city of Springfield, pursuant to South Dakota Codified Law 17-2-1. Is there any additional comments? Question? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And those opposed, nay. Okay, the next item, there are three items that can be voted on at once. These are the financial institutions, First Savings Bank, and First National Bank for investments in the South Dakota Public Funds Investment Trust. Action to designate those as official financial institutions.
I make a motion to approve First Savings Bank, First National Bank, South Dakota Public Trust Investment for the city of Springfield. Financial institutions.
Oh, sorry. Okay, so Cheryl's made the motion and Larry seconded to designate for Savings Bank, First National Bank, and the South Dakota Public Investment, South Dakota Public Funds Investment Trust as an official financial institution, the city of Springfield. Is there any additional questions or discussion? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And those opposed, nay. And that passes. All right, so next up, we're back on with our normal agenda items. So first up is the approval of the agenda for tonight. Okay, we do have a request for one change. That's to move item C, personnel, number two item. So those are a new business under number 11, authorization to advertise and the authorization to hire lifeguards. We'll move those. We'll go into an executive session to discuss those two items prior to action. Just number two. Yeah. So that would be the one change that we request for the agenda.
I make a motion to approve the agenda as is with the addition to item C, authorization to hire lifeguards, to executive session.
So Cheryl's made the motion to approve the agenda as amended.
I'll second.
What's moving item? Larry, a second. Any further discussion or question? Hearing none, then we'll do the lifeguard after executive session. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. That motion carries. Next up is the approval of minutes. 2/2026.
Make a motion to approve the minutes of April 2, 2026, as written.
Second.
Okay, so Larry's made the motion to accept the minutes of the April 2, 2026 regular meeting as presented. Steve has seconded. Any further discussion or questions? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. That motion passes. Next up are the claims.
You'll see that the claims looks a little bit different this month. We're going to kind of switch things up a little bit. So what I did is you've got claims report in the packet. That's page 13 through 19. And then I did hand out a couple others. The items in blue are items that were either added or amended. So originally the claims were $324,157.02, and the amended claims total $333,057.28. So, like I said, if you have questions, let me know.
So which one are we supposed to approve? The one in the blue? I'll make a motion to approve the claims of the month for the April 2026.
Okay, so Steve has made the motion. Caitlin has seconded to approve, to accept the claims as presented. Any further discussion or questions?
I have a question. The entry for the Bonham Pharmacy on epinephrine?
Yeah.
Is that for the ambulance?
Yes.
Okay. The only assumption I could come up with that was logical, but
okay. Any other discussion or questions? All right, hearing none. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Those claims are accepted. And the next item, the finance officer's report.
You see it as presented in the packet. Pages 20 and 21. A little bit later under new business, we'll have the resolution for the cash transfer to that we did at the end of the year to switch it back. So if you notice on the first line, 101 general fund, that total or cash on hand is $842,000. And then we're going to take that, those dollars and move that from the general fund back to the water fund. Because the original reason for transferring or moving it around was for the airport, which it's covered and we're good, so we're going to put back.
Turning back on the finance report.
I'll make a motion to approve the finance report for the month of April 2026.
I'll second.
So Steve's made the motion. Larry has seconded to accept the finance officer's report as presented for April. Any other discussion or discussion? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And those opposed, nay. That passes. One last item on monthly consent items. We have a donation for $100 to the ambulance department from a private citizen. Action on that donation.
I make a motion to accept the donation for $100 to the ambulance team.
I'll second.
So Sheldon made the motion to accept the donation for $100 from a private citizen to the ambulance department. Larry has seconded. Any other questions or comments, discussion? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. One exception, so that is accepted. All right, next item up are public comments. We don't, Garrett's online. Cool. You have public comments. This person is a time for persons to address the Common Council on items not on the agenda. Not listed on the agenda, and no action may be taken under any item until it's specifically put on the agenda. Each person has up to 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and where you live.
Hi, my name is William F. Lawson.
from Springfield, South Dakota, a lifelong resident. I see Richard Parks on the agenda again. As I stated in the paper, I've been serving you guys with something, Chris, the mayor, the finance officer. You know what I can't fucking stand about this town? There's no sense of community. It's every person for themselves. There's no compassion, no camaraderie. All you people want to do is fuck with people. Only certain people, though. It's my belief, had I been a lifelong local Dutchman, I would never have to put up with any of this shit. I own properties in towns all around here. Last fall, I was contacted by a renter of mine from Scotland. That's not very far from here. They had a city employee say, hey, you got a tree out of compliance hanging over your sidewalk, and we are willing to take it down free of charge with our equipment. They asked if I was cool with that. I wanted the tree to stay, but I just said, hey, if you leave the wood for me, then I'm cool with that. I kind of forgot about it. I rolled in there in December with some materials and seen this nice pile of stacked mulberry wood, and I thought, you know, Scotland's all right. I want to fix her up in Bloomfield, Nebraska. Backyard is an absolute fucking mess, worse than anything here in town. The city is going to bring their payloader in and pile it up, load it up for us. Now, that's what you would think of in a small town, but not here. Here, you would rather invent new ways to prevent people from doing shit with their properties, and I attribute that to you, Scotty Boy. There isn't a quarter that goes by that I hear a horror story about you, Scotty Boy, screwing someone out of doing something with their properties. And I wonder if any of you assholes even know anything about any of this shit. Last year, I sent an email to the city saying I was going to clean up Ritchie Park and renovate it. But that wasn't good enough for you, for this little fucker right here. And since he goes unchecked for shit like that, by you fuckers, we are where we are. I know you are fucking finished, Scotty Boy. You rat fucked too many people in this town. And that's why I've been pretty tight-lipped about what my real plans are for that town. But you're going to be fucking done next year. You won't even be here. You rat-fucked way too many people. And so I just can't fucking stand people like Caitlin and Squeaky Steve. You come here and you fuck with lifelong locals like me who are actually doing something in this town. You guys are fucking trash. I'm going to continue to invest and clean up properties in this town because it's something that I've always wanted to do. And I've seen your guys' finances. You guys are fucking trash. And someone like me, that's who you want to fuck with. That's what I don't understand about somebody like you. You don't even pay your fucking bills, you know? But you want to fuck with somebody like me. You know, that's what I don't understand. But anyways, I hope you share my notice of intent to sue and my notice of claim with that, with these guys. Because I'm telling you guys right now, if none of you are here in, say, 18 months or so, I won't even fucking sue for that. But the clock is ticking. I got 2.5 years on that shit. All right. See you next month.
Bill. All right. Well, thanks, Bart. All right. Is there anyone else that would like to make a comment? If you do, please come to the podium and give your name and address. All right. Hearing none. We will move on. We have no official correspondence. We have a little personal correspondence this month. The reports are in the packet. I think I have one alibi on mine, which was the fact that I did one ceremony at the prison in April, wedding type or solemnization ceremony. So, had that. And then the one thing I'll update is, and they got the call, we should have sinks in the bathroom this week.
They're supposed to come in tomorrow and hopefully install on Wednesday.
So that will take care of the bathrooms, and then we're just still waiting on some glass. But that will wrap that up, and I'll talk a little bit more about what that does for us. The water plant update. Okay. Next up, capital improvement projects, which going to water. Is there any questions on any of the reports that we had in there? So the updated process seems to be working good. So they're out there and they're online for anyone that's out there. So.
The only thing I'd like to recognize is Garrett told me he's passed phase two. He has one more month of training and then he'll be ours.
Good. All right, good job. So, all right, then we'll move on to capital improvement projects. So before we hit these two, because this is going to be somewhat of a almost bittersweet evening when we do this. We have the last change order and the last pay application as far as we believe will come. So the one thing we're waiting on, or Rural Development's waiting on, is for this project to get finished with the bathrooms and before we can formally move on. So tonight's action will be on the city side that we can send up. But as far as the water plant, of course, we've met substantial completion, so we are now working to close this out. Inspections were done. There's a little bit of a punch list items that I think most of you saw and got seated. I know the guys have been going over there watering, trying to keep that going. So a couple of warranty items that are starting to pop up, but again, they're under warranty, so starting to execute that. With change order number 23, which is the adjustment of all the quantities that was used over the project, and then pay application number 35, which will end the pay app, because there is no more work left to be done outside of small items that will be accounted for. Those will be the last 4 years, almost 6 years of this project. Once these are done and processed, sent up, we can expect sometime in June and July finalization paperwork to move on and be able to complete the project. With that portion done, then I'll be more than happy and more than ready to have a public open house now that we own it. And, we'll formally fully own it. But right now we have everything is under warranty. Been a couple of things that have popped up recently, so we're executing that, but we're still working on a plaque. Get that figured out. For the council members, by all means, a couple of the guys can go up there and take a walk through it. They've got most of it cleaned up now with all the stuff that they've brought out of the old facility. There's still quite a bit of stuff to put in there. Much better order, so I know they would look forward to showing it off, and we will get it open for the town. With that, the first one, change order number 23, which is $68,554.18. Action on that change order, and again, that's the final quantities up. That's primary purpose. The rock, the anything that was used in all the investments.
I'll make a motion to accept Beamer? Am I pronouncing that right? Beamer. Change order number 23 for $68,554.18.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
So Steve's made that motion to accept the Farmer change order number 23 for $68,554.18. And Larry has seconded. Any further discussion or questions?
I have a question, but it doesn't pertain to this change order. Going through their documentation, I don't find any change order 22. We went from 21 to 23. Unless I'm misreading something in there.
So many.
I know it. And I'm hoping it's just a simple, I didn't find it. But I'd like to bring that to everybody's attention.
I'll check and follow up.
No, that's a very good question. By the time things go back and forth, SPN and Rural Development, and District 3's in there, things get a little jumbled and does what, so we'll make sure. This is what was presented at our meeting.
So sure. I think we're okay with that. Any other questions or comments?
I don't know who's responsible for paying for the water that's going to make that grass grow. This is my visit. It should be a warranty item. Bill at the airport right now.
Warranty item, so it should be coming.
Yeah. That's a very good question. We'll validate that because it should be. You're right. We'll validate that because it should be the same as the airport at this point. I think that one came up. So the comment. So. Okay. Any other comments or discussion for this change order? All right. Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. That motion passes. Next one is pay application number 35 for $220,033.09. And that should be the final pay application for primer. The bathrooms are already taken care of. Take care of the final dirt work and the seating down there. So, and again, we are beyond substantial completion. So, any questions on that? Or is there action, please?
I make a motion to approve primer payout number 35 for $223,033.09.
Second. Okay, so King made the motion. He has seconded to accept primer payout number 35 for $223,033.09. Any other comments or questions?
I got one.
Go ahead, Doug.
Who's responsible for, since they were so late in getting there installed in the final takeover of the city, who's responsible for taking care of the warranty work because we're so kind of taking over the water plant? Somebody should, whether they have warranty on it or not, plant was built, but we didn't fully accept the water plant.
Right.
Until last year, so there should still be those warranties on that.
Yes, the warranties are still under primer. Yeah. So they have their year warranty. Some of the clock is already ticking on certain items.
Yeah, I know. I have to say, I didn't hear it when the warranty started the day it showed up here. So. Make sure that we got our. Everything is in line that somebody is liable for that 1 year.
Yep. Yes, they are, and they actually are going to do a couple things now. So they are doing that. Any other items? Hearing none. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. And again, reminder: these are pending a little bit, so they may not. Get finalized for a little bit, but then we'll be looking at June and July to finally close this out. We are pretty much straight on budget, so maybe a few dollars. There's a couple things that we need to do that we didn't think about earlier. It didn't come up, but otherwise we are spend it, leave all the money that was secured by the city for this, so include all the grants. All right, next item up, old business. First item there is the discussion and potential authorization for a police vehicle. Harry, I'll kind of turn it over to you since you kind of was using this. But as discussed before, our vehicle has got some maintenance issues and a couple of major things that are potentially coming up. So research has been done to
move up the purchase probably by a year rather than hopefully not having a significant amount of repair costs.
Yeah. Some of the things that I found out since our last discussion, I contacted the vendor that was awarded the state contractor's vehicle. I asked him what warranty options were available, and he said factory warranty will be 3 years or 36,000 miles bumper to bumper, and 5 years or 100,000 miles on the powertrain of the new vehicle. The contract also specified the length of time that the contract is allowed for delivery. And that was 60 to 240 days. I asked him for his experienced estimate of when the vehicle would arrive, and he thought it would be 4 to 6 months for delivery, which pretty much matches the contract. And the model of the vehicle will be a 2026. So that's about all of the update I can provide at this point.
So the vendor, is that Lamb out of here?
Out of Oneida.
Oneida, okay. And a local dealer cannot match that, the bid? Like, they come out with a state bid. Could a local dealer match that bid and we go with that state bid? Can they get a state bid? A local dealer. I don't know if I'm...
I don't know what the process would be to make that work.
You're asking...
We could go and ask for a bid, but then we're saddled with taking a street chassis and doing all of the add-ons to make it hypersuit. And that doesn't come that way in all cases.
And I understand that. I was just wondering if there was a opportunity for a local, somebody more local, would be able to get that vehicle. Do you see, like, yeah. If I want to go in and buy a vehicle.
I can't give you a fair answer.
Okay. I'm just wondering if, like, if I wanted to buy a new vehicle and there's one in the lot in Sioux Falls,
yeah,
I could go to the local dealer and he might work something out.
And in this case, part of the conversation that was off, not on the record, was he keeps pretty much track of if another organization in the state has a vehicle meeting these specs, you know, for the state contract on their lot. He keeps touch with everybody that handles that. And at this point, there isn't anyone, you know, that's a pretty specialized vehicle, so.
Right.
And going with the bid loss, I mean, you'd have to go through all that doing the notice to bidders and making it available to all, whereas using the state bid, the state is taking care of that and is available for us to use, where we piggyback.
Right.
And so Lamb is the only one that has it.
For this particular model, we're looking at the Ford. Brand page here. It's a Ford 4x4 Special Service Pursuit Package is the description, and it's a Ford F-150 Responder is the model.
So when we got this recently, a couple years ago, I did ask a little bit about that one, and what Country Ford had told me was it's nearly impossible for them to get a police vehicle. It'd be a one-off, and they would be so far down the list that...
Yeah, the delivery time would be probably the most critical thing there because they're not on contract.
So not buying in bulk.
But then would we be able to go to Country Ford and get all the maintenance done on it then?
As far as warranty work, yes. We can take it to any valid Ford dealer for warranty work or any service provider that has an agreement with Ford to provide the warranty work. So we don't have to keep running back to Oneida to refill or fix any gremlins that pop up.
So Country Ford should be able to do it then, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And they want to do it. Our team work is going to pay for them.
Yeah.
That's very true. Thanks, Doug.
What's that?
Thank you.
So with that part, again, I'm going to do some budget items. We have the ability, and we're looking at, we're looking at the full cost. It's like Avon did the whole action, so that's our basis. They went from zero to 100 graphics, all that stuff. So we've got a little bit in there, got new radios and new camera that would get swapped. Whether or not anything else is there, you know, can go back and forth. We're kind of assume at this point probably minimal. Such a few years on. And, you know, our vehicle went through a couple of wrecks. Had electrical issues for quite some time. The high dollar transmission stuff. So we're looking at about $65,000 by the time the entire thing is done and it's bought and ready for service on the streets. So.
Well, and I threw a little bit of contingency in there too. It's unthought of.
Yeah. I think when Larry and I looked at it, the vehicle come pretty well out. There's only probably a couple things in there that we would even look at for here. Make sure maybe it's got a block heater, but there's very, very few options unless and the ones that are on there become very police specific, things like bulletproof panels and several things that were not in the.
And I did sit down with Garrett and go through that list of options, and he's given me his thoughts on what would be appropriate when the time's right.
Sure. Okay.
So
I know at one time he was saying something about that. I think he was only able to have one gun in his in the vehicle. You know, like the shotgun, and that rattles quite a bit in it. So I think will we be able to get a new one of those?
I guess we'll have to take a look and see what turns result.
There was a bolt missing on that.
Yeah,
a bolt missing.
There was a bolt missing. That's why it's rattling.
Okay.
I replaced that.
Super. But you're correct. It was only a one rifle rack, I think. So, but again, those are things that once we buy it, we're going to look at what we can use, you know, what's obviously how that all shakes out. And it may not be this year. It may be down the road. It may be something there, too. So, to do. Not everything. There might be a compromise or two up front. So if that's one, that's probably not the end of the horse. Hopefully we can use the big things. The brush guard or the push guard out front, I'm probably not interested in reusing just because I know it's been in two wrecks. But the box in the back or the radio stack, stuff like that, those are things that if we can transfer from one vehicle to another because they stay pretty similar in them.
And Garrett was also recommending going to, I guess I don't know what the terminology is, but instead of having a cage for the whole back seat, having a cage so you're sitting one person into a more confined area.
It's like a half cage.
Basically, that's
one seat.
That way you don't have somebody kicking around loose in the whole back seat, just restricting their movements a little bit.
So in other words, it would, cause to go from the door in and then back to the pickup then? Is that what you're talking about for half cage?
No, in the back seat it would only be half. Right now it's a full.
They have access to the whole back seat.
Okay, but so when you
they would put in a half, so only, if somebody was in the back, they would only have one half of that back.
Yeah, it'd be like a cage.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
Be like a cage.
Yeah, it's just a restraint system to put them on one seat instead of letting them lay down across the back seat.
Right. Okay. But you had two.
I don't know that you want to transport people one more time. I think you'd probably ask for assistance to transfer. One on one.
Yep.
Okay. Good job.
Details.
Do you want to, Garrett's online. Do we want to open it up to him? Or do you just want to move ahead and
well, have a discussion? Well, Garrett's back there. I mean, what has he got to say? He's listening.
No, that's, can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can hear you just fine.
That's pretty much everything. I mean, yeah, just the half gauge is just restricting them to the one seat instead of the having full reign of the whole entire back seat. That was really about it. Don't really matter the gun mounts right now or not. I mean, kind of just the goal is to get this pushed forward, I guess.
So is there any other questions? We're fully available to make a motion. Don's got more.
I got one. Be up to Garrett whether he wants a vinyl seat in the back or if he wants plastic seats in the back seat. They have to clean up after some pretty gnarly messes.
And those are some things on the option sheet that or rubber mats and carpet, all that kind of stuff is on there. So
yeah, he definitely did not want carpet.
No.
Maybe WeatherTech.
So anyway, with that, are there any other council discussions or feel comfortable moving ahead one way or another to make our decision? So
I feel comfortable moving ahead. And if that's the case, and if nobody else has any objections or anything, I'm going to make a motion to authorize the purchase of a new police vehicle and associated equipment for the Springfield Police Department.
I'll second that.
Okay, so Steve's made the motion. Larry has second. Authorize the purchase of a new police vehicle and associated equipment for the Springfield Police Department.
Can I add a friendly to that?
Yep. We're open for discussion and comments. But
should we put an amount? I think you've got $70,000.
What I put in as kind of what I was working with to move ahead.
Not to exceed $70,000 under this. If it goes over $70,000, then we need to come back to the table.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds fair. Yeah, that's good. Because without knowing for sure exactly how much the ancillaries cost, that's a good. Today's current environment market. Okay, so then with that, I guess, Steve, it would be up to you if you want to amend your motion to authorize the purchase of a new police vehicle and associated equipment at Springfield Police Department.
Not to exceed $70,000?
Yeah.
I'll amend the motion.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Any other discussions or comments? Is there a second to the amended motion?
I just have a quick question. Are they offering any 0% financing or anything like that through Ford?
These are not financed.
They are not. I was just curious because if they're offering a 0% financing for you, they get a 0% financing, leave your cash in the bank, and earn interest.
Yeah, normally when it comes to this stuff, it's straight up pay when you get it.
Right.
So you budget for it.
Right, but if it's 0% financing, you know, make the payment at 0% and keep your money in the bank where it's interest earned.
Sure. Okay. Is there a second to the amended motion? I'm sorry.
I'll second that.
Okay. So Larry seconds the amendment. And any further discussion or comments? And I want to make sure that we understand this. You know, we obviously have a vehicle, and so Garrett will be back in a little over a month We still need to take care of that vehicle too. So, not to scare anybody, but obviously, coming home to a brand new ride just yet. So, yeah, he's got a job for him to beat some up. So, yeah. And then my second recommendation is that, depending upon who's here, because evidently I won't be, that we look at the warranty periods for items like this and start planning that way when it comes time for a renewal rather than being a year and 2 years out of warranty. So that'll just be a longer-term planning factor. Okay, with that, there's no other discussion. Favor say aye.
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 Opposed nay. That passes, so we will get that process going. Garrett, keep doing good things in school and maybe a little conversation as this process starts going forward on some of these options and things, but we'll try to get something in the order bank as soon as we can, so we can get another meeting. So thank you for dialing in.
Sounds good. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it very much.
Okay. Moving on to the next items. So the next items are the abandoned nuisance property update. As far as the Jones, or what's formerly the Jones property, there has been a little bit of movement over there, so comments notwithstanding, and the owner of the company that owns it, recognizing that it is owned by a company entity, was more than welcome to stay. But I'm sorry, that's the Ritchie property. Back up to the Jones properties on Main Street, the ones that the city owns. The guys are continuing to work on some utilities identification. John's been out there, right? And they may have found another water shutoff. We have our brownfields out waiting on that request.
There's no money from the state right now, but they renew in June. So, and we are at the top of the list.
So, to get those going, the trailer, I think, Don, you're looking for some tires, so we can get that one down in there. Get those volunteer trees and stuff cut out. Get that out. So, I walked up there last week or a couple weeks ago. It kind of dawned on me, how do we get into that building? Because we're certainly not going to open the front door. We actually have no keys, and the guys reminded me that we can. And I'm talking about the whole gas building. You can go in the back or the garage door. So, if there's an addition onto it. So there's movement. It's slow. District 3 has not got back to us yet on their contacts with the state as far as potential assistance for economic development and getting a little funding for that. I'll get rid of it too. So,
I have a question. I don't know if I should bring it up here or down in new business E. Should the Jones property be part of the capital infrastructure plan?
I would say not the removal.
Okay. Just
but what do we do with them? Definitely fall into that. What okay. do we do once we get it remediated and we have a it probably goes in a little bit on how we finalize the remediation, but yeah, then what do we do? How do we, you know, Development Corporation is there? How do we start developing and that would definitely be under that. And potential is there that as they go through, there's probably a little work that needs to be done in the alley as they look at water and sewer. Is there any other updates that need to be done back in that area? That would all probably fall under that capital improvement plan as well, because some of that's probably some older infrastructure in there. So,
I have a random question. Yes. Is that infrastructure, what's connected to the ambulance fall to in the alley?
I couldn't tell you. That's a pretty old part of town. That'd be a question for...
I know we had some issues with water. Yeah. Like, so I was wondering if we do one area, can we...
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about when we start tearing and on the equipment back there, figuring out what we're not going to reshape the alley, but not knowing for sure where water and sewer lines are and how they're apparently connected and what might need to come out and what might not. So those, but those do think those do fall into some of that improvement plan. If it's not a part of this, if the opportunity presents, looking at visiting with other entities too. So Development Corporation is a good one to help. They have access to some funds. Yeah, as we get going. The city's portion is we'll have those lots and put them back into a shape so you can they can get built on for businesses that fit the commercial district. And we're still dealing with Greg on that share. Okay, going into any other questions on the Jones properties? All the rest of the paperwork that all of those are paid. So. Ritchie property, former Ritchie property, as to what I started to say. A little bit of progress over there. So we'll keep it at that. We're at about the 90 days, but I think we're probably able to see what happens in the next month or so because we're just into that category. So. Comments on it, I'll bring up. That being said, we got a little visit, so we'll start looking at what's next and is there a next? And I think there's a couple as we've gone through the files, so as we kind of get a better handle on some things, some action that have been done in the past. They can look and see if there still needs to be readdressed by the council on that. So it's like there may be a couple that have had some action, kind of like the Ritchie property that was in the past and never got completed. So okay. We'll move on. I don't have anybody or any items for planning and zoning. So, again, if you know or somebody that would like to be or is interested in any of those things, I've had one person come up and we've had a couple of meetings about having some kind of a town hall house on some of these various committees. And so I think probably at the end of the month, it's like we'll have something to advertise some of this. Maybe some other opportunities, what these are. There's some interest out there, but there's a lot of folks that just don't know what it is. How important it is for us to get these things so we can move on. So.
Well, and in line with that, I know last month you had requested a letter kind of outlining what that means as far as the planning and zoning. It is in a very rough draft. Hopefully we can get something out to you this year.
Okay.
Any other discussion or comments on that? Right, hearing none, then we will hit new business. First item that you will have, took up about half of the packet, is the annual report.
Light reading. Auditors prepared this for us, and David's received it last week. In front of you, if you have questions, let me know. But also just a heads up too that I should be hopefully getting the 2024 audit within the next week or so. So that will probably be on the agenda as well.
Was there anything identified through all of this that we need to take immediate action on, whether it's reply to somebody that matters in our world, to give them a response, or is there any action like that mandated out of this?
for the annual report.
Yeah.
The state makes us.
Okay.
So, yeah. When this is approved, then it has to be in the paper and submitted to Red Fortin with Department of Legislative Audit.
Okay. And they will review. And the audits, when that comes back, that usually does have a couple of recommendations. Either you try to do this if you can, or if there's anything that's okay.
And that's usually shared with, you know, like RD, the state.
Yeah. Okay.
Funding, so.
As Samantha said, there's a project after we do this, so do you want to explain this? What happens after tonight?
After tonight, it actually gets delivered to Rod Fortin at the Department of Legislative Audit in Pierre. He approves, and then it'll be posted on the state website. We'll also post it on ours, and then it also goes to a paper to be published.
The only comment I had, that's a tough reader.
Light reading.
Light.
So with that, is there action on that? So we put forward.
I'll make a motion to approve the 2025 annual PERV report as presented.
I'll second.
So Larry's made the motion. Cheryl has seconded to accept the 2025 annual report as presented. Any other discussion or questions on that report? As we have said, on the action tonight and forward to the state, that they will go over it, and it's posted in multiple places for the public to access. Have anything for us, they get a hold of us, and the audit is still coming down the pipeline yet. So. Any other questions or comments? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. So that motion passes, and we'll get that set up. Next item up is resolution 2026-02, which is a cash transfer. Amanda talked to that already. I'll let her review what this is for.
Make sure this is the resolution of 2025 to make sure that everything was covered for the airport project, and this is now just putting it back where it.
Is there any action on that?
I make a motion to approve resolution 2026-02 to cash transfer the physical.
Second?
I will second.
The team has made the motion to accept resolution 2026-02 as presented. Larry has seconded. Any other comments, questions, or discussion? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The motion carries. Authorization to advertise for a street department position. Again, this is not about any individuals. This is a position that, with Gary retiring or doing a little bit of pulling work, that kind of stuff, I have to figure out what comes next. So now start figuring out that process of what comes next. I have the street department supervisor here. You can ask questions if you have anything as well. You have a draft for an advertisement for a position. This position could utilize any one of our categories, so it could be full-time or part-time, part-time with benefits, part-time without. The entry-level wage structure there, standard for us. So that falls with our personnel catalog. It's a little broad because
I'd make a motion to approve for a full-time employee for the street department.
I'll second that.
Full-time only?
Yeah, full-time only.
So Cheryl's made the motion. Larry has seconded to authorize an advertisement for a street department full-time position. Floor is open for discussion, comments, questions.
I have one. It says the commercial applicator. Is that for what, Donnie?
That's for pesticides and herbicides. I'm no longer doing that.
Or spraying for mosquito?
Yeah, no longer doing that.
So
it's not a choice. Let's put it that way.
I understand. We've talked about this. So does that mean that we...
They can be trained to do it.
Yeah, they'd be trained. That would be a... If they didn't come with it, then they would have to get it.
It'd just be a bonus if they did come with that qualification.
Okay.
I believe we also list CDL as a nice to have, but you don't have to have it to get hired. Somebody did come with it. Encourage to keep it.
But we CDL for him to keep up the CDL, though, right? Keep up that CDL, yeah, if he has one.
Yeah.
What other requirements do they need? He has to have class B.
Yeah, that's okay. Be the only requirement. That's if we upgrade trucks.
Okay, yeah. My other question is, this has come down. Maybe it's just the A part. But from what I understand, it's coming down from federal to state, and the state is enforcing it, that anybody who has a CDL has to have a medical card.
We don't have trucks that weigh the 26,000 pounds. But I just prefer people to have it just for safety requirements.
Okay.
Just so they know what they're doing when they're driving these bigger trucks. I'm the only one in the city with the CDL. But I've carried that since back in 1998. It's not required to drive the trucks we own.
Thank you.
Any other questions or discussions? And remember, this is just an authorization to advertise, so it's still on a good case several months out, but going on.
I'll make the motion to approve the authorization to advertise.
She's already approved it. She's already motioned, so.
For full time.
If there's no other questions or comments, then... all those in favor of the authorization to advertise for a street department full-time position?
Aye.
Those opposed, nay? Right. So that motion carries. So that we'll move to the next step of the HR process. Lifeguards, we are going to move to after executive session. We'll go ahead and personnel discuss those. Next item up is an on-site alcohol permit. Van Orsis, you should have that packet. The rental agreement for this building, and they are requesting have alcoholic beverages at an event on May 24th.
I make a motion to approve the on-site alcohol permit for Mary Van Hort on May 24th, 26th.
Second.
Second.
Kingdom's made the motion. Cheryl has seconded to accept approval of the on-site alcohol permit for Mary Van Works on May 24, 2026, Springfield Community Services Center. Any other questions or comments? Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. All right, next up is a continuing discussion of the infrastructure plan, a capital infrastructure plan. This is something that will go for formal action next month. We've got to stay on our annual basis with that. I just mentioned, among other things, that we acquired these properties on Main Street. This is primarily infrastructure, but that's been have a nexus in that capital improvement plan as well that we didn't anticipate even a couple, 3 months ago. So, questions, comments, discussion of the plan? We'll get to you, Carol. We'll let the council
know. I'm asking the council again. I did it the last however many years. I did it a year ago. I was told to bring it up in January, although this wasn't discussed till February. I brought it up. I am please asking the council to add the drainage issue at the corner of 8th and Maple to be added to the plan. And this is not, this is a drainage issue that was caused by the city. Drainage issue did not issue until action was taken to put in curb and gutter. So this is a correction. It's not something new, and I'd like to see this taken care of before anything else is added to this plan. Thank you.
And in continuation of that, if you have additions or if you whatever you want added to it or revised, let me know, like, within the next couple of weeks, because then I can make those changes and then get it out to you prior to the June meeting.
And actually, I would probably push it up if we can get anything like that added before Memorial Day, so it can at least get posted on our website with any draft additions before it goes.
So may I ask, will this be added, or is this something that we won't know until next month if it was added or not?
Well, I don't know. I can't answer right now if it will be added. It's obviously under consideration. So it goes into the infrastructure piece.
Thank you.
Any other discussion on the infrastructure plan? Yeah, this is kind of what drives our dollars and what is coming next. So we know the 11th National Oak is under progress right now and has started. That's our current big project for the next 2 years, but there are these other things that are under. So and Don has a little input on his piece of utilities. They have a little bit to put on their piece as far as if you have any questions on how those are sitting. Because there is a lot of stuff in here along with that. There's parks and swimming pool and the airport's generally taken care of through its own capital improvement plan. But there's a lot of stuff, a lot of very stuff. Our buildings are part of that too. So a lot of stuff goes into that infrastructure. With that, hearing there's no further discussion, then we'll go on to the first reading of Ordinance 625, which is an amendment to Section 20.020, not just weeds and plants. And so I need to make sure I get all the right pieces on this one. So being the first reading of the ordinance, since Bo is here, and he is the one that updated this. I'll let him go on his explanation. My short one is we've been looking at a couple things on how we do, and this is primarily noxious weeds. Mowing was a big consideration. You know, last year, within the last couple of years, updated, for instance, what the cleanup cost is if we have to go in and mow and clean up property, the letter that goes out, which has the other businesses in town that do it. This is kind of the next step beyond that, how to start cleaning up the ordinance and make sure that we're good. Number one, doing that, we're doing notifications right, And that the council has the opportunity to start setting some additional potential fees and tightening up how we do this as we go forward for a couple of reasons. One, it's Don and the rest of the city guys have other things to do other than to mow other people's yards that aren't being taken care of. Some of them are habitual anyway. And two, to help put a little teeth into it, but make sure that we're doing it right. That we do, you know, do it fairly, and we have some things in there that can be quantified across town. And then I had also asked him about how does things like the county weed board fit in. We're fully aware to be able to do that. So by taking some of that language and putting it into our city ordinance, it just makes it a little easier and a little clearer for us to be able to action some of those items too. So with that, I will turn it over to Bo for his explanation, and then we'll do the discussion, and then we'll open the floor to the public, and then we'll come back to council for any action on the first reading.
Generally, the revisions to Chapter 90 would be mainly in tightening up the definitions of you know, what is a noxious, dangerous plant, to include grasses and plants over 8 inches. It also tightens up some of the enforcement mechanisms. So not only previously the ordinance would only allowed for assessment of those costs. So if someone went in to mow, if the city went in to mow, then those costs could be assessed to taxes to potentially help with more current payment of those fees. This ordinance also allows for a civil action to be brought to get a personal judgment against the person rather than the property. And then that also, you know, it applies to persons in possession, tenants, and property owners, so they can be jointly and severally liable for those charges. But happy to entertain any questions on those on the bridge.
Pretty quiet. I understand this kind of came up for you all. We figured it out last week, and Bo got it up pretty quickly to move forward. So it's May, so that's why things like this pop up very quickly. So should this go forward, obviously, if it would become June, it would be the end of June. 1st of July is probably the earliest for implementation or execution of it. So. With that, Council, do you have anything to discuss? Otherwise, I'll open the floor up for public comment. Hearing none, I open the floor up for public comment. So, go ahead, Carol.
Carol Hagen, again, that property of mine, that block 40, which is on the map. Past councils have said that that's not subject to the mowing issues. Having to keep that down because of the structure of the land. And also now with the situation caused by the city's illegal drainage across the property, it is really unsafe for anybody to be walking down there. So really two issues I guess I'd like to see, is that addressed in this new ordinance, that those kinds of properties would not be subject to this? The bluffs, just like the bluffs Dallas Harris Park.
I chalk it up to my being out of town and unfamiliar with your particular property. As it's written, it's not necessarily addressed, and I can't comment to what other councils have said in the past. Currently, no, it's not addressed.
Carol, some of that is natural grassland, isn't it? Native grassland?
Well, it was originally all native grass, but now that with the illegal drainage going across it, there's all sorts of crap going in there. I mean, it was never, you know, nobody seeded it to make it lawn or anything like that. It was considered bluff-type property.
Yeah.
So I just didn't know where, like I say, previous councils have said that kind of land along the bluff was not included in this. And if we're going to go through it again, I'd just like to see if there's something, you know, some acknowledgement of is it or isn't it, and then also this other situation I have with the property.
Isn't that core land?
No.
She said it was from
home. It's mine. I pay taxes on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just know that the core had taken it.
Yeah, so we've gone through there and just had discussions with the river with the decommissioned parks. The core to look at 91. 24 city limits.
So
if on any street or alley, she's against the river.
No, it's state lands.
So
Diana, I have our contracts through the state.
And I've contacted the state, right. And it only goes up to what they consider, if I'm using the correct terminology, the high, which all my land is.
Well above it.
Well above it.
Yep.
So it is all of that property down there.
Well,
my perspective, I like the fact that you don't mow it because it reduces the erosion.
Yeah.
I guess the only thing that I would have a concern with is somebody being able to control any cockleburrs or some of those noxious weeds that just appear, you know, the Russian thistles and stuff like that. Is there going to be a way to deal with that without impacting your grasses?
Yeah. Well, as Cheryl pointed out, it was all originally native grass, which in itself controlled all of that. But after, like I say, the illegal drainage started taking place, there's all sorts of stuff growing down there.
Yeah, there's going to be stuff approaching.
And it's the fact I won't hire anybody to walk down there. It is too dangerous. I don't know what has we've witnessed where you've got a thin layer of turf and everything's eroded underneath, so it's not safe. So to go in to try and I had somebody come in trying to knock down volunteer trees and some of the things you were addressing, that's been 2 or 3 years since I've had it done, and it's gotten worse. And I'm not going to have the liability.
Sure. One option I would offer for food for thought, and that's as far as that's where I'll quit. Find somebody like our gentleman on Main Street that flies drones and sprays in selected spots. Yeah. That way you don't have somebody treading down there and he's got a camera.
But I guess at this point, the problem that I have now was caused by, in my opinion, was caused by the city, and I'm not going to put out any of my own personal dollars for it.
Yeah, I understand the process, but if you find somewhere down there that wasn't part of the erosion problem, you know, further to the south and west of that area, that would be an option for me to consider if you want away from where all the erosion is occurring.
But like I say, in the past, I know because it was considered club property, it was excluded from having to do, you know, I understand the noxious weeds. I don't want them either because that comes up into my own yard and everybody else's. And we've tried to keep them down, but it's, yeah, exactly. So I just throw that out there to see if I get a clarification from the city on whether that would or would not be included. Because the city has the same kind of property themselves. There's other pieces of property along the bluff that will be impacted that I know has always been excluded. And ask the city to put something in to say one way or the other. And to consider precedents in the past.
It's all in open to interpretation. That's that part.
Now, I don't believe currently there's anything drafted to deal with bluff property or anything like that. If that's something that you would like to see, I can add that for first reading.
Or at least give us some options to consider how we could approach. Because she's not the only one with the bluff property. We've got a terrace park down here. I don't know where the take line is. Some of that is ultimately our responsibility also.
Some of that's core too.
Yeah. So between Harris Park and the core take line, there's some of that that is not fun to walk on and try to take care of noxious weed.
What is it, block 59 up there?
Something like that, I'm not sure. But there's more places in town that have similar problems to what he's experiencing here. How do you control the noxious weeds in there? What are we going to look at to make it as easy as we can for the landowner without becoming hardship?
So how would you differentiate what property should be treated and cut and what shouldn't?
Safety? Or is that ice at the beholder?
Yeah, that's some of those things that we'd need to sit down with a good face-to-face with everybody and come up with the definitions that we need to clear it up, in my mind.
A suggestion, possibly where the plant is adjacent to the river. The property lines are there. With the county, they can tell you which ones where there's nothing beyond it other than the river. And I don't know if you call it bluff property or a property adjacent to, on the bluffs to the river. Suggestion.
Description.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you.
No, it's a good point to bring up on some of those, because we do have some other areas in town that
not on the bluff either.
No, we've got a stream bed that comes through town and a couple other rougher areas that aren't essentially occupied by house. We want to make sure that we're tight enough that the residential pieces are covered, but yeah, when we deal, we have some of those other areas that normally, once again, whatever some previous council or if there was ever official action, it's probably not more stuff. So I wouldn't count on what was said then, but we do have a couple three areas in that, being able to figure out how to designate them or how we do it. We don't want to leave too many loopholes. The backyards and the other stuff that we are really trying to address.
And I understand, as Larry pointed out, not just weeds, but then if you're going to talk weeds, you go outside of the city property, 1 foot and there you are. So, and then just beyond me is core land. Right below Dallas's property, that's core. But it's where the city limit ends.
Well, where the city limit ends, and I'm going to point my finger at her if she's on the county weed board, is Alex, and that's where the county takes over. So it's not like it's just a free-for-all when you get out there. And that's part of what we're trying to delineate here, to make sure that we're able to match kind of what their rules are, too. So it's
kind of... And then the other thing is that I don't know how this would apply, but if you start putting weed killers and everything down close to the river, I don't know if there would be any legal ramifications there.
I guess one thing that needs to be looked at is what has the Corps approved for use in areas adjacent to their take line?
Yeah.
It's their land, but they've got some responsibility so that it doesn't leach into the public areas.
U.S. Fish and Wildlife, too.
Yeah. There's a lot of things involved with that property down along the bluff for all of us.
My helicopter goes there and sprays all the weeds.
Yeah.
They got to have something that doesn't kill fish.
Yeah, it's approved for aquatic use. I mean, if you're going to spray your own yard, you don't have to, as long as it's approved for aquatic use. Yeah, it's like there's maybe a 75-foot setback, I think it is, from the water, because we spray the bottom row.
Yeah, but see, where I'm at, and I won't speak with the other properties, I own to the river's edge. So that is all block 40. So if there is even some setback, there's just a lot of legal things that need to be involved in this if it comes down to that.
Well, what I will say to address that is the ordinance doesn't in any way mandate any particular type of chemical treatment for what kills the weeds. And I would recommend that the city really not get into that, because the onus is on the property owners to do that. Now, if the city does have to go in, maybe the city needs to look at that, but that's not in the ordinance.
Right.
And cutting is a valid way to care for these weeds according to this ordinance.
I get the issue of the grass heights and whatever, like I say, along the bluffs, does have issues with just even getting to it.
Sure.
So I think that's why it had been excluded in the past, just because of the nature of the property or the contours of the land.
Go ahead, Alex.
There's a couple weeds that we have declared countywide that aren't on the state list or on your local list. So in that case, does the county have any like jurisdiction within the city limits?
You can take all of your same actions that you take anywhere else in the county within the city. These are apples and oranges.
Okay.
So you're not stepping on toes to exercise county weed board jurisdiction within the city limits. So you can exercise all of that in town. This is just for the city of Springfield and to have its own jurisdiction over plants and weeds.
Okay. Just so I know, the complaint can come here or there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. So I would say with that, and since that is a good point, that clears it up. It's not covered. We're trying to take ours up. So then let's look at it this way. We obviously don't have to take any action tonight, although probably I would table it. But we'll have Bo take a look at how do we manage exceptions? How do we deal with that? Does that become first with a property owner? Set some rules, and then property owners have to come and ask for the exception. Obviously, the city owns some of this, too. That seems like the more logical point than trying to make the decision ourselves, and the property owners can do that. We ensure those areas have some ability, or at least if we need to designate certain areas from the city, that's covered in there. But, again, the bulk of this is to continue to cleaning up and putting a little more than here's a mowing letter, and if you don't mow it in 15-20 days, and you got a city guy out there mowing it, which we don't want to have it either, because you don't know what's underneath there. And remember, by the time we get to the point of a letter going out, it's because the grass, the weeds, or whatever have already got to a point where they're clearly noticeable and to a point, and then you're another 15 to 20 to 30 days potentially before action. So then it's really obvious. But that's a good point, and something that we probably need to consider here more than other towns, because we got some training. So we'll try to try to find a compromise in there, and it may involve you submitting a request for this piece of property and reasons why be different, but that wouldn't necessarily take it out of noxious weeds and stuff like that. I mean, you can't have any field full of thistles growing down there either, or in them, you know, that, because that's a much larger problem. We are seeing some of the other invasive stuff come into town. So then with that, do we want to leave it as is? A discussion. We'll have it on the agenda for first reading, or is this the first reading? Do we need to table? Because it sounds like there'll probably be enough changes in there to justify a.
I'm going to make the motion to table it.
Okay, so Steve made the motion to table first reading of Ordinance 625, amending Section 90.020, noxious weeds and plants. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
So with that, then, this is active. It's on the table. The attorney, if you will work with us a little bit and get some updated definitions and how to look at those areas that came out from some good discussion. So thanks all for bringing those out so that we can address this again in June. So all those in favor of tabling the motion, the first reading, say aye.
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 Those opposed, nay. So this is tabled. Going to be working on that. And again, I think I'll ask Bo and myself and Don's here. He gets a job on us as well. If schedules allow, please kind of get it to us so that we can get it turned, maybe get the next draft out and get it out on the website at least a week before the next meeting. That we can, so the public can get a little more chance at it. So. Okay, with that, I have no other business. I know we have a personnel item for executive session. I know we'll come out of executive session and it's likely we'll have action on that personnel item. So is there action, please, to enter into executive session for personnel item, SWAN, SBCL 1-25-2.
Make a motion to move to the executive session.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Time now is 8:03. Include executive session. Go down the hallway quick.
Wait.
I can hear it. Right, let's go. This should not be this.
It just popped up as Garrett.
And he came in on Teams. He did not come in on the call-in number.
Why do you have trouble?
Yep. I tried calling in, and as soon as I hit in the passcode,